Turn to Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 3, the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We want to look at the present part of Revelation. I told you the other day it's in three parts. You got the past, the present, and the future. Amen. The past is what God has already done in the first chapter, what John saw. And the present, the two chapters, chapter number 2 and 3, are the present day churches near the church age. And then from chapter 4 on up through 19, we find the church is missing. And it's the hereafter. And actually from chapter 4 through the remainder of the book of Revelation, it's the hereafter. It's the future. So if you'll study it that way, it'll help you. Take your Bible and go to the third chapter, please. Third chapter of the book of Revelation. And I pray that God might help you, amen, to see the things. I'm burdened and troubled as I preach the message. I pray you'll listen. I pray you'll take your attention off of the things of this life and what you're going to do, what you have done, and get your mind centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Thank God for the good singing, the specials, the music, and everything. Amen. But I tell you, it's preaching time. Revelation chapter 3, stand with me, please. We're going to read one verse out of the third chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 1, and then we're going to skip down into the third chapter to verse number 14. Chapter 3, verse 1 said, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." We know that's the Lord. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Imagine the Lord saying to this church or any other church, "You got a name that you live, but you're dead." Yeah, now go down to chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." God said, "You're not cold, you're not hot. I wish you was one of the others," what God is saying. Verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm," in the middle, fence straddlers, compromisers, right in the middle, "and neither cold nor hot," he said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You can be seated. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of prayer. Lord, our hearts are troubled when we look at the things that are around us in this day. Lord, we've seen what You've done in days past. We see what You're doing today. And Lord, we see how we limit You and what You can do tomorrow through us. And I pray, God, this morning You'll open our eyes and help us to get the truth. Lord, to see where we stand. Lord, get to the place that we need to be, that You can touch and use us and mold us and make us after Your perfect and precious will. God, we pray this morning, if there's one in this building under the sound of our voice that's lost and undone, knows You not as Savior, I pray, God, You'd speak to their hearts, send Holy Ghost conviction, cause them to see themselves as a sinner. May this be the day they get birthed into the family of God. And then, Lord, if there's one out of the will of God that's cold, got slack and indifferent, Lord, they know that they've been saved, but God, they're cold. And Lord, they're lukewarm. And God, the place, God, that they just let things slide by. I pray, God, You build a fire under their soul this morning. Give us exactly what we need. Lord, may they get things settled today. And we'll give You the glory, the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought about labeling this message this morning, "Dead or Alive?" with a question mark. Which are you? Then I thought about preaching something like this. What a mess we're in. Now, I ain't so sure. You label it whichever you want to. Amen. I'm just going to preach it. I read this not too long ago, and it said, if we want to change the future, we must change the present. Amen. And you know this morning that the present does not like to be dealt with. The present don't want to be changed. Now, to deal and change the present, that means that we are going to have to be dealt with, and we're going to have to be disturbed. And brother, we don't want to be disturbed. Amen? We don't like to be disturbed. We don't want to be changed. But if the future's ever going to get changed, we're going to have to be changed ourselves to change the future. And as long as we stay in the rut that we're in, and we stay right where we are, things are going to get worse and worse and not better and better. And so I say this morning, we need to get where God wants us to be. It seems like in this day we spend much time talking about what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with the world. We're talking about the economic situations, with spiritual situations, and we'll just talk about it, and most of us can figure out where the problem is, but we cannot do anything about it, so to speak, or we have no desire to get up and try to do anything about it. Amen. And I want to tell you something, if there's anything disturbs me, you said I'm concerned about Washington. I want to tell you something, I'm not concerned about Washington as much as I am about the local church, brother, that has fallen into apostasy and got the place that we can't even hear the voice of God, and we've come like Sardis, cold and dead, come like Laodicea and got the place that we can't even see anything wrong with us. We think everything's all right, and it's all wrong, and it's upside down in the church, and the souls are not being saved, and the services are not being uplifted, and our hearts and lives are not being changed. We come in the church, we drag in, we drag out, and we drag on. Amen. And we seem like we come every time, and we're no different when we're when we left the house of God, when we get home, and when we come from the home and come back to the church, we're no different, brother. When we come through a service on the job the next day, it's the same thing, brother. It's just the same old rut that we're in. I'm disturbed about that this morning. Amen. I believe there needs to be a change in the spiritual system of this country. Amen. And in our churches across America. You know, preacher, I tell you, I'm looking for a change. I'm waiting for Washington to get right. I'm waiting for the White House to get changed. Preacher, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm waiting for Hollywood to get right. Amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, you just wait on, wait on. They're not going to get right. It's going to start with you. If anything gets changed, brother, and this country gets changed, the future gets changed, and there begins to be a different standard to live by, it's going to come by you and me, by the Word of God in our lives. Amen. Why, somebody said if a Pope just got up and done something, we're looking for a miraculous touch of the Pope. Maybe some evangelist to come through town and sprinkle out revival like a gold dust in her eyes. Hey, I want to tell you, it won't work. It's not that way. It's not going to be done that way. Amen. But I'll tell you the answer to it. I'll tell you who's the answer. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. I'll tell you right now, our preachers have got the place that they quit preaching. The Bible said in the Old Testament, lift up your voice. He said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their sins. Brother, we've got people today that's quit crying loud. They quit sparing and they quit preaching the truth and telling people where they are. Amen. I believe we ought to shout it out loud. Somebody said, I don't like loud preaching. Yeah, you'll go to sleep if I don't preach loud. Amen. I want you to be awake and hear what God has to say. Amen. Our preachers have quit preaching the Word of God. They laid the Bible down and they started patting people on the back. Brother, it's a back patting service now. We come to and brag about this and brag about that one and brag about what we've done and brag about what we're going to do. Most of the time we're on the credit bragging about what we're going to do and crowing about what we have done. Amen. Brother, the preacher quit doing that. Brother, they started squirting rose water and begin to make things smell good, look good. They begin to blend in. They begin to mix and mix in with the people and become like the people. Brother, I want to tell you this morning, we got to be separated from the world. We got to come away from the world and be separate this morning. Brother, preachers have turned their back and started winking at sin. Brother, they quit looking at things that's wrong, quit preaching. Some preachers won't preach on sin because they're afraid it will mess up the congregation, split the crowd, cut the salary off. Amen. Brother, they become hirelings. And since they've been preaching for hire, they're either preaching for hire or waiting on retirement. Amen. I can't figure out how you're going to retire out of the preaching business. Amen. I tell you, and I found out this much, brother, the older I get, the weaker I become, and the less apt I am. But I want to tell you something, there's still something down inside that Jeremiah had, and brother, it's a fire burning in my bones, and I still love to preach, even though my abilities may not be as good as they used to be. Thank God I still love to preach. I like to try. Amen. Somebody said, you retired yet from what? Amen. Brother, I want to refire and keep it going. Glory to God. I had a preacher come and took this church one time. And I said, brother, he'd been preaching for years. And I said, brother, how about preaching for us tonight? He said, no, I'm not preaching anymore. He said, I retired and quit. And I thought, I went back and see, and I've checked it again. Maybe I missed something. And between Genesis and Revelation, I hadn't found it yet that you can do that. Amen. I felt like it a few times. I mean, I wanted to quit a few times before I got retirement age. I've tried to quit a time or two, and God had a different idea about it. So we got preachers that do that. They turn their back on sin and won't preach it no more. They compromise with sin, and they started sugarcoating the gospel. I mean, they preach so many sugar pop sermons to the preachers, now they've become a bunch of Fruit Loops in the house of God. Amen! And that's where we got to today. Brother, we just pat them on the back, tell them everything's all right, tiptoe through the tulips, as the feller said, and we've come to that place. Preacher, I just don't want you to cause no waves. I don't want you to stir up nothing. I want you to, somebody said, and I hear this all the time, said we need steel-toed boots. Before we get through this morning, you might need an armor. Amen. I pray tonight you get your steel armor. Because I want to preach on some things I believe we need to look at this morning. Amen. People don't want to be disturbed. But if we don't disturb you, you're not going to get out of the place that you're in. I mean, listen, they're looking for the preacher to pacify the congregation. They're looking to be patted on the back and told everything's all right. Brother, they just don't want to be disturbed. I told you that a while ago. They don't want to. They don't want to name sin. Preachers don't want to name sin no more. Amen. Said a fellow, said a preacher... Our preacher preaches against sin. Said, dude, what's he say about it? He said he's against it. Amen. Every preacher ought to preach against sin like that. But you never know what a sin is till you name it. That's right. Think about that this morning. I'm telling you, it's business, serious business, down at the house of God going on. Now, we're in an hour, brother, that things have happened. Brother, this is a day when people don't want to preach in the Word of God. And if you do happen to have a preacher every once in a while gets up and preaches, he's criticized many times by the congregation and not by the community. And the community is the last ones to get a hold of it. You know, I had a fellow tell me the other day, he said, you know, I've had more trouble out of Christian so-called people than I have people in the world. And I said, fellow, I can tell you that. I've been in a long time. Amen. The most of the troubles I ever had in church is from church people, not people in the world. They don't want to fool with me out yonder. They'll get away. I start talking about God and they start crying. They're like a what them little bugs you pull back the cover. What you call them, roaches? Ain't that what you call roaches? They run like roaches to get under something to hide when you start getting and breaking the gospel out. But church folks, they just bow up on their hind legs and just give you a fight. Amen. You preach something strong now, and here's what'll happen. They'll go home and offer a Sunday dinner. They'll boil, they'll fry, they'll bake, they'll steam, and they'll microwave the preacher for dinner. And they'll sit there and talk about him for a while. Oh, he's so-and-so and this and that. A real preacher this morning will preach the truth to you. And he'll be accused of everything under the sun. They'll even accuse him of being narrow-minded. Somebody said, preacher, you one of them narrow-minded preachers? Yes, sir. And I'm on a narrow-minded way. That's right. I ain't on the straight gate. I am not this morning on the broad road to destruction. I'm on the straight and narrow way. Are you with me? Brother, I'll tell you, I got in by the grace of God and by the blood of Christ. Yes, sir. Why, I tell you what, you go to preach and they'll say, you're probably one of them preachers that believes that salvation is through Jesus Christ and there's no other way to heaven but by the blood. Amen! Glory to God! Been preaching it for a long time. Don't have no intention to change it. Why, you're probably one of them preachers that believe that the King James Bible is the Bible that God has preserved. Yes, sir, I'm one of them. Amen. So to save all the confusion, let me just answer that right quick. These people's taking different version Bibles and they'll read out of one and read out of another. Now let me tell you, God either said it one way or another. Amen. If I tell Brother Jim no, and I tell Brother Stuart yes, and it's the same question they've asked me, now one of them's wrong. I'm not talking about them, but one of them answers I give is wrong. And if Bible reads this and the King James reads them, and they said, but in my Bible it reads this. You know what you're doing? Bringing confusion. You're saying God in heaven don't even know what He's saying. He's saying it different to one to another. Brother, I want you to know I want to get zeroed in. Yes, I'm one of them old-fashioned men that believe the King James Bible is God's preserved Word. Now, I ain't preached on that in a while, but I'll hit it every once in a while. Amen. I believe we ought to get on that and understand it. Well, you said, why in the world you feel that way? When the gays come out of the closet, you remember when they come out of the closet? Well, the society was already going rough, or they'd have never come out. Somebody said, that's when the nation went wrong. It was already wrong, or it wouldn't have got there. Something happened. And now, when you've got same-sex marriages, it's okay, and they have said that it's, you know, legal in many places. That turns my stomach. God said that kind of lifestyle was an abomination. And so I have to get up and preach against it. You said you'll go to jail one of these days, and I can't hardly wait. Amen. I can wait, but I may go to jail. Because I believe it's the Word of God. That it's wrong. I believe it's wrong. When they come out and said that we'll legalize murder, and we'll put in abortion, and people can have abortions. Brother, let me tell you, that turns my stomach. That happened long before. And the reason they had abortions is simply abortion ain't what caused the country to go down. The country was already down, and the churches had already lost that. And if God's people had been holding to the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, and believing what they said in their heart and what the Bible said, they would have never legalized abortion in America. Amen. I read this thing the other day out of the USA Today. You listen to a lot of junk sometimes, but USA Today said this. Said out of every 15 women that become pregnant, 5 of those women will go and get an abortion quickly, right then, and cover up their sin. The 10 left out of the 15 said that 4 of them out of that 15 would end up having the child without a father, without marriage, and not even want a husband. And then it said out of the 6 that's left, 3 of them would end up in divorce before their child ever went to school for the first day. And out of the 3 left, part of them would be on shaky ground and living miserable, unhappy lives. Now, why would that be? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are not taking the Word of God as our base. We're not taking this as our fundamental fact. Sardis was dead. And then we move on down to Laodicea. They've got the place that they were dead, but they were working. They're acting like they're alive and trying to do. Brother, we're in that day today when people are trying to do, but God is nowhere near it. He's nowhere near it simply because we got the place. You see, we're in a day when we've got some of the most powerful, powerless churches that we've ever seen. Brother, they can become powerful, but they're powerless. Brother, gets the place. Brother, our land's filled with them today. That's absolutely right. Amen. Many churches ought to be able to offer, and they do pretty good at it, offer a course on how to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. They're good at that. We go through the motion of having services. We can start the service on time. We can end it on time. We can set the clock. Amen. Fellow said they built a church, and the fellow said, I'll put all the money in the church that you want to build this church as long as I can build it like I want to build it. Sound like a typical day, don't it? So he said, all right, we don't have no money, so build it. So the first service that come in only had 2 pews, one on each back there. And the usher met them, set them down, filled the pew, pushed a button, and them 2 pews come to the front. 2 more popped up out of the floor. They filled them 2 pews, he pushed the button, they come to the front. Amen. They said, oh, this is pretty good. So we want to make sure everybody sits in the front and not the rear. You ever notice that? Actually, they sit in the rear and don't want to come to the front. If unless you turn the church around, I know what some of you are saying. That's right. You know what I'm looking at from the pastor's standpoint? This is the front from the pastor's standpoint. Most of you are sitting in the back. So what happened? The preacher got up preaching. A bell rung at 12 o'clock and the preacher was still a-going, and a platform opened and the preacher fell out, went down through a tube and ended up on the street in a standstill position. That's what we want. We don't want much preaching. We don't want much going on. We've come to that place. Amen. We're at the place we'll try anything and everything just so we can build a church. And brother, I want to tell you, you cannot build one. I cannot build one. It's going to take God Almighty to build the church and get it where He needs it to be. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are the two things that we need. Somebody said we need some wise folks. We need some smart people. We need some people with great ability. What we need is some people this morning that are saved by the grace of God. And brother, let the Spirit of God and the Word of God get a hold of them. And God will direct the church and guide the church. And God will bring in the people. And brother, God will speak to the people. Amen. Well, I got to thinking about this sitting in my study. Here's our problem. We've got the place that we start operating our churches by like a business. Amen. On Sunday, we put the little sign up, open for business, so to speak. I thought what we should do is get whatever name of the church is and come up there and we'll just use church for a purpose or Bible for a word. And we ought to change your signs in most churches and put Bible Church Sales and Service on the front door. Because that's about the way we are. And I thought, well, if we wanted to kind of get business going and getting the church kind of represented, maybe we need a little advertisement. You ever thought about in this day, people wants to advertise the church? I don't remember that when I was a boy ever doing any of that. People had a mind to go to the house of God. That was something that was down in them. Now we have to wave a few banners, have a few sparkles, have something. Hey! I mean, isn't it a strange thing? We're in America and most folks don't even know this is church day. It's a day off. It's a holy day that makes a holiday for them and they don't do anything but typical things that they want to do. Amen. Now, I thought, well, if it was going to run an ad, reckon what the average church would do. And some of these things I'm going to mention to you is exactly what's going on in a lot of churches across America. So I said, well, we'll just put it in the paper. Here's a good thing they could do. Put it in the paper. Get the whole front paper, the whole front page. Extra! Extra! Read all about it! Our church, we are fixing to do it. It's what's going to be put in the paper. It's going to read, hot dogs, hamburgers, car washes, and gun shows on the first Sunday of every month. Circus clowns, magicians, and goldfish swallowing on the second Sunday of every month. Don't that go on? Then we'll have parachute jumping with the pastor preaching on the roof in his outfits and waving his pom-poms in his cheerleading outfits. I've actually known that to happen. Not necessarily on the roof, but they come down the aisle. I'm talking about in this county too. I ain't talking about California. Hear me. That'll be on the third Sunday. Then we'll have barbecues and cakewalks and petting zoo on the fourth Sunday. And then what we'll do is we'll take off on the fifth Sunday if we have one for a holiday. Amen. Now that covers our Sunday services. Everybody invited. Come as you are, because surely you'll leave as you came. You may smell like the animals at the petting zoo. You may get wet at the water parks. Amen. All right, then they'll say, well, now, Sunday night. I thought, well, we'll just pick Sunday night up. Sunday night. Sunday night, here's what we do. On the first and third Sunday night, we have financial seminars to teach you how to spend your money. You get right with God and give everything you've got to God, and you won't have to worry about spending your money. Amen. Two or three of you look like you're sick. Amen. Then on the second and third Sunday nights, we're going to have psychology classes. And we're going to teach you how to be a top-notch citizen and how to climb the ladder of success. That's everything but what God is wanting us to teach. Amen. That is, unless we have a holiday. If we have a holiday, we'll have no Sunday night service. And as for Wednesday night, we have decided the best thing for us to do is suspend Wednesday night services now for a little period of time to give people a chance to take care of things, because there's a lot of activities going on with our ball games and things, and so we are going to let them spend time with their family. Wouldn't that be a good place to spend with your family down at the house of God? Now, saying all that, you said, preacher, I ain't involved in none of that. Well, good. But the amazing thing is, most people in the church today that's going to church with a Bible on their arm and sitting on the pews, they're more concerned about the fall festivals and the trunk or treating that we're going to have down the road, and the Easter egg hunts that we're going to have, and the 4th of July parades, and the fireworks, and the swimming parties that we have together, and the little league ball games that we're going to have. They're more concerned about those things going on in their church than they are about winning souls. And if we could get excited about winning souls and knocking on doors and telling people how to live right for God and try to win them to the Lord God, I'm telling you, if we had as much enthusiasm on that as we do trying to get our programs going, brother, right now, it'd be a blessing. But we're more excited about our brotherhood breakfasts and our sisterhood suppers than we are in getting down to the Word of God. You know why Wednesday night's not so popular anymore? Because years ago, when I was a young man, I'd go to church on Wednesday night, and Wednesday night was like Sunday and Sunday night to me. That preacher'd rear back, sweat a little bit, and begin to start preaching. And people got right with God on Wednesday night. Just like they did the rest. Then what we done, we changed out the preaching of the Word of God. We'll have Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm not against Bible study, brother. I believe we need more of it. But if you want Bible studies, and that's what you're interested in, show up tomorrow night. And if that ain't enough, come back Tuesday night, and Thursday night, and Friday night, and we still got Saturday open. But leave the Wednesday night service alone. We're going to preach. I didn't figure you wanted more. You want less. I seen a little commercial the other day that said they want more. Showed a little old dog about that big and a bone about that big, and he's a-chewing on it. Amen. But that ain't the way it is at the house of God. We're big old elephants, brother. We want a little bitty ball. Hear me? We don't want much down at the house of God. That's right. Brother, I'll tell you, I get so disturbed. I mean, we'd rather go to church where they got what we call, you call them children's church, but I call them babysitting children's churches. They'll say, what we want to do is make sure our kids don't disturb everybody, and we want to go in there and put them in children's church. Listen, I can preach over any youngin' you can bring in here. And if you can't do nothing with him, I'll shut him up. Amen. I may have to tote him around on my shoulder while I'm preaching. but I can get him quiet. Amen. I understand a young'un getting contentious. Amen. I looked at y'all too. I understand why some of them might get upset. But brother, I believe we can calm some kids. I believe I'd overpreach kids. And the kids need to sit in the congregation just like... And you said, I don't like all that. I don't care whether you like it or not. It worked for me when I was a kid. Boy, I'd have liked children's church too. Amen. I got me a bunch of crayons and went to drawing. And the teachers... And of course, I know they got some good teachers that teach kids. I know they have. Matter of fact, I believe I've met a few of them, I believe, that taught the children's church that had more power about them than the pastor did. Well, we won't go there. We'll leave that alone. Have you ever been to church and you get in the church and the preacher gets up and he digs deep, he gets you something, he brings it out, he shares everything, and the preacher ought to do that. And so he brings out things and gets it, and you go, oh, that's a new truth. That's good. Oh, that's good. That's good. And you said you didn't feel no presence of God in it, no power. I mean, you know, it's like eating a bologna sandwich with nothing on it but two pieces of bread that's a week old. And the bologna is, you know how it gets red around the outside edge when it gets air? And that's what that sermon is like. But yeah, it had some truth in it. And the pastor come out and say, boy, wasn't that a good sermon? And you look up at him and tell the biggest lie you've told all day. Yeah, pretty good. Knowing good and well it didn't do nothing for you. I've been to churches like that. Amen. Brother, I don't care how deep they get, got to have something in it. Put some mayonnaise on that thing. Amen. Put a little mustard on it. Put a piece of lettuce and a piece of cheese. And a tomato. And brother, when you bite down the mayonnaise and the tomato seeds go to running down your chin, boy, you like it. That's what kind of preaching we need. I'm telling the truth, saints. I got up the other night and my wife had done gone to bed and I hadn't been in my study for several hours. And I thought, well, I'll just get up and relax a little bit. I've got to get down out of the clouds so I can go to sleep and walk back into the living room. I said, I think I'll watch the news just for just a minute. And I looked and they had some sort, a super dude star of some kind with earrings in his ears, with a mop head all over, and some what them studs have had in his lips. And he said, what we need to do is we need to recognize the same thing that we recognize about cancer. Said these fellas that are on drugs, the drug addicts, and these fellas that are on alcohol dependency, said we need to treat them just like those who've got cancer because it is a disease. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, fella. Don't you sleep on your side tonight, your brains will run out. You're dumber than a bunch of rocks or a box of rocks. Amen. And you better be careful who you are and what you're saying. You don't know. Listen, that is not a disease. It is sin. You can't get rid of drugs by giving them medicine. You can't get rid of alcohol by giving them medicine. You've got to give them Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can take that junk away from you. Well, that was my news watching. Now I'm still in the clouds for sure now. I didn't get settled. I got disturbed. And for the next 30, 40 minutes I'm preaching about sin. Well, I know the answer. Somebody said, we need an answer for this. Yes, we do. We need an answer for this country. We need an answer for our churches. I'll tell you the answer. I've done got it figured out. I know what the answer is. The same answer for the president, as the politician, as the pope. The same answer this morning for the Democrats and the Republicans. The same answer this morning for the Baptists and the Presbyterians. The same answer this morning for the rich and for the poor. The same answer this morning for the wise man and the ignorant man. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I saw this the other day. I went to get a little cup of coffee. I walked in, and this fellow comes strutting up through there. He had on a pair of shorts, and he had the long shorts on. It looked to me like it had about 14 or 15, what, them little pockets on the side. I don't want in the world you'd tote that much in a pair of half breeches. And I looked, and he had one of them markings called a tattoo on one side. And went over here, I didn't exactly see what it was. So I began to look up, and he had a big bandana tied around his head, and he had his ears here, had them big old grommets put in there. Big old, I thought, Lord, have mercy, where'd he come from? And he had some of them spike things stuck in his thing. You said, what? And he had one of them, he had one of them big old long billfold things with a chain tied to it, hooked around. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Now, he's trying to get attention, and he's done it. I said, what'd you do? Want to go over and preach to... No. I stood right there in line, and tears began to flow down out of my heart and out of my eyes. And I felt so sorry for him. And I said, that's somebody's son. That's somebody's grandson. And they're probably brokenhearted over him. They may have come from a broken home and where the parents didn't care. But I said, somebody probably cares for that boy. And there ain't one thing that'll help him. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wish, instead of him trying to get my attention and somebody else's attention, I wish God could get his attention. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have preaching for down at the church. You know what you do to dead churches? You do the same thing you do with dead bodies. You bury them. And God's doing that. I read between 5 and 10 churches are shutting down daily across our land. Some of them are having corporate mergers. One little church will get together with another little church, and the crowds are too small if they can't even pay the bills on the building and all to keep the doors open, so they'll merge together and put their emphasis together and make a bigger church out of one. And there's a building, now it's empty, that gets sold and never is a church anymore. Or either the cults come in and get a hold of it and they start preaching worse than what they were before. It troubles my heart. I used to hear people say, our preacher said, go out in the pub and said, the preacher said Sunday. I hear them say, the preacher preached and here's what he told us. But you know what I hear now? I go out and hear this, and they say, Hannity said, here's our problem. O'Reilly said, Limbaugh said, Glenn Beck said, and they're quoting them kind of people, and you don't hear them quoting preachers anymore. Something's happened. Our preachers have quit preaching. We quit listening. We don't want the preacher. We'd rather have the commentator. That's why we got trouble. That's why we're not going to change the future. Where's it going to start? With you and me? I'm going to close with this. Y'all can get ready and come on the instruments. Suppose somebody this morning just out of the blue come in and opened that door and walked in, and we'd allowed them to come in, and they're going to ask questions, and suppose one walked up, come the first one or two there on front or the back, looked over at you and said, what do you do here? What would you say? They said, well, I'm just a bench warmer. I just come and listen. And he comes to another and says, what do you do here? I'm a special singer. I didn't ask you for your title. I asked you, what do you do here? And so they ask another, and then it gets all kinds of answers. Just let me ask you this morning. What do you do here? What do you really do here? What do you expect to do? What are you planning on doing? You're just going to sit and go with the flow? You're just going to sit here and not pray? You're just going to sit here and listen? It's time we started doing something for God. It's time we leave this building this morning and start telling people about Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to change them. The only thing that's going to add to the church. That's the only thing God can do. Listen, God can snap His hands together and save every person in the world. But according to the Word of God, He has not chose to do that. He chose to save men and women through the preaching of the Word of God. And when there's no preaching, brother, I want you to know there's nobody coming to God. It's the preaching going to wake them up. What's your number? 357 in the blue book. Stand. What are you doing? What are you going to do? What are you doing?